From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues his studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns is expounding the meaning of the seventh commandment, Thou shalt not commit adultery. God has given this commandment to emphasize and to protect the uniqueness and the sanctity of the marriage bond. Implicit here is a regard for the purity of all those with whom we come in contact. The Lord denounces anything that threatens the marital relationship. Here we have a beautiful picture of Christ and His church, in which each partner belongs to the other in what God intends to be an indissoluble union. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will look at the various aspects of marriage. But before he comes, we invite you to listen to this selection from Faith's Checkbook, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Return from Backsliding. The text is found in Job chapter 22, verse 23. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Eliphaz, in this utterance, spoke a great truth, which is the summary of many an inspired scripture. Friend, has sin pulled you down? Have you become like a ruin? Has the hand of the Lord gone out against you, so that in estate you are impoverished, and in spirit you are broken down? Was it your own folly which brought upon you all this dilapidation? Then the first thing to be done is to return to the Lord. With deep repentance and sincere faith, find your way back from your backsliding. It is your duty, for you have turned away from Him whom you profess to serve. It is your wisdom, for you cannot strive against Him and prosper. It is your immediate necessity, for what He has done is nothing compared to what He may do in the way of chastisement, since He is almighty to punish. See what a promise invites you. You shall be built up. None but the Almighty can set up the fallen pillars and restore the tottering walls of your condition. But He can, and He will do it if you return to Him. Do not delay. Your crushed mind may quite fail you if you go on to rebel, but hearty confession will ease you, and humble faith will console you. Do this, and all will be well.
Joy of life, salvation.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
the modern mania for erotic materials with pornography plastered all around us are constant challenges to the sanctity of marriage. The paid pimps and strumpets of Hollywood, Madison Avenue, and the gutter press outdo each other in their attempts to seduce people from being satisfied with their marriage and with their spouse. No one, man or woman, should allow themselves to be manipulated by these evil people who would wreck your home and damn your soul for a dollar. No one should be manipulated by them and their erotic muck, either into infidelity outright or into any form of autoeroticism. That's a vicious substitute for a faithful relationship with a faithful spouse, a form of self-indulgence that will tear the heart out of a marriage. Husbands and wives are not to hold themselves aloof from each other. And those who do so threaten their own marriage and throw their partner in the way of temptation. Many a so-called innocent partner in a marriage wrecked by the infidelity of the other partner has been far from innocent. Nothing can justify the infidelity of a husband or a wife. Nothing can justify, nothing at any time, under any circumstances, can ever justify or excuse adultery. But the cheerless, loveless coldness that marks many a wife or husband is often at least a strong contributory factor in the failure of a marriage. Husbands and wives, don't we cover this in every marriage service? Husbands and wives are to live together after God's ordinance in the sacred and holy estate of marriage. And could I say to you, husbands and wives, study your Bible. Find what the Bible says about living together in the holy union of marriage. Forget about the junk that is being spewed out by the so-called experts of the world. The filth that is constantly being spewed out and that so many people are falling for. Learn what the Bible says about living together with your marriage and covenant partner. Live together in that holiest state of marriage. That's our vow. You may forget it. Let me tell you, God will never forget it. He put His signature to it. He put His seal to it. He was the witness of your covenant, and He will never forget it. You blaspheme His holy name when you seek to eradicate the stamp and the signature of God from the marriage contract. That's our vow. We must never do anything to weaken it. There is, of course, a third well-known word that we use to describe the marriage state, and it's matrimonial. It's a very interesting word. It is the word that comes from the Latin word mater, meaning mother. And it points to one of the chief ends of the marriage union, which is the procreation of children, where such is the will of God. Go back to Malachi 2, verse 15. Did He not make one? And wherefore one? The idea, did He not make two people one flesh? Why did He make two people one? that he might seek a godly seed. It's the purpose God had in creating the first marriage. Now, there can be true marriages without children. Abraham and Sarah were justly married without children. Elkanah and Hannah were justly married without children. But nonetheless, childlessness is an affliction to be borne. And I will be very old-fashioned here, but I believe the Scriptures warrant it, that unless there are very strong reasons that will stand the scrutiny of the judgment day, I do not believe it is right to enter upon the marriage union with the express intention of refusing to have children. That worldly selfishness which looks on children as a malign intrusion into the freedom of adults places marriage under a great stress. It stretches fidelity in most cases to breaking point. Denies one of the basic purposes for which God instituted marriage in the first place, namely that he would bring forth a godly seed. Of course, at the other extreme, there are many others who adopt the Roman Catholic notion that the procreation of children is the sole justification for conjugal relations at all, and that it is sinful to take any steps to limit the number of children they may have except by abstention from all marriage relationships. Strangely, the Pope not only anathematizes married people who use medical knowledge to limit the size of their family, but just to show he's even-handed, he also anathematizes those who employ medical skill to enable them to have a family at all. So as far as the Red Sox bachelor on the banks of the Tiber is concerned, you can't win. Now, this is not the place for me to discuss the medical procedures to which I have alluded. Some of them contravene other clear laws of God. I refer you to the tapes that Bill Pinkston did in our Tuesday night ethics class some time ago. Some of them contravene the clear laws of God. Some of them involve a kind of adultery. Artificial insemination by donor is legalized adultery. Surrogate motherhood is an adulterous intrusion into the sanctity of the married relationship. Some forms of either in vitro fertilization or other forms, some forms of contraception actually are forms of abortion. And therefore they come under the law, thou shalt not kill. Such breaches of God's law are indefensible. But I have to confess that in other cases where there is not a breach of God's law explicitly stated in his word, I gladly accept the normal historic Protestant ethic. Something in me does not like the lectures of bachelor priests who lecture married people on subjects without scripture warrant, while they themselves have little to say about their own indulgence in concubinage and pedophilia and sodomy and other perversions. I think they'd do a lot better to get their own houses in order and get their own lives right than let the consciences of God's people be held captive, not by some papal encyclical, but, as Martin Luther said, by the word of God. So here are three views of marriage. Understanding them will let us see why Jesus taught that any breach of marriage, the marriage union, is so serious a sin. Remember what he said in Matthew 19, verse 16? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. In the light of that, The most glaring practice that the seventh commandment condemns is the practice of easy divorce. Whatever human law says, God's law condemns it. And no Christian or no Christian church has the right to substitute man's law for God's law. Of all the reasons advanced for freeing married people to marry someone else, the Word of God allows only one short of death. And that is not adultery, as most people say, but the Greek word is porneia, gross immorality, gross impurity. It may be adultery, fornication, sodomy, bestiality, transsexualism, or some other gross, intolerable perversion or activity. Romans 7, verses 2 and 3 teach you that normally it is only death that allows a marriage to be dissolved. And after death, the one partner, the other is free to marry. In Matthew 5:32, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, whosoever shall divorce his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Jesus says, if you put away your wife except she has been guilty of fornication or gross impurity, then if she marries, you make her an adulteress, and you make the man who marries her an adulterer. Furthermore, in the passage we read in Matthew 19, verse 9, he says, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery." So he says, if you divorce your wife, except it's for gross impurity, and you marry someone else, the law of the land may allow it, but you are guilty of adultery. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul teaches that Christians should not divorce. They should not do it. There's always that exceptive clause. The Lord doesn't say you must divorce in the case of gross impurity. There are many things in Scripture that would encourage us to seek a reconciliation, to seek to disciple and to bring back the erring one. But where that is not possible, God does allow for the dissolution of the marriage as if there had been death. That is how serious a thing gross immorality is. It is death to a marriage. But outside of that, Paul teaches Christians should not divorce. If you have a situation where the wife or the husband simply cannot live with their partner, there are various situations. Sometimes extreme violence, sometimes extreme drunkenness, sometimes some form of what the world calls insanity. Not quite sure, in most cases, that's a just description of it or not. But where living under the same roof becomes impossible, he says, if they depart, yet they must not marry, nor must they ever enter into a relationship where they cohabit with anyone else outside of the bonds of biblical marriage.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.